Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here. Thank you for tuning in to another brand new episode of the show. Today's features, Patrick Booz. Patrick works with Beyond FM and works locally at Y98 on the radio. So we had a good time talking about our love of radio, and we get into some of his weight loss journey and all kinds of good stories in here. Pat was a lot of fun to hang with, so hope you dig it. I do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis over in the Maplewood area on Manchester. You can shop locally or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, your junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Again, shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP for 15 for 15% off. And even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler's got you taken care of for all your grooming needs. You can get your comb, even your combs or whatever, you know, just all sorts of great products over there. You've got wonderful smelling products. They're great people and I love them, and I'm so glad to have them a part of this show. So support local business. Also, big thank you to Heil Sound for their help and continue to make this show sound great. Shop HeilSound.com today and get yourself a new microphone. And if you want to help support this show, a great way to do so would be head on over to the merch store. We at buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast. You can pick up some new logo shirts, some little shanty t-shirts, tank tops, some hats for the summer, some trucker hats, snapback, and it's all that and more over at buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast. I appreciate anybody that's already picked up those shirts and wearing them around town. They're always making me laugh, and I appreciate all the continued support. So thank you, everybody, for that. And if you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail and any of the socials. I'd love to hear from you all. With all that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a new episode with my buddy, Patrick Booz.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, it's Pat for Y98, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with the one and only Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, a hip-hop, jazz, all kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Patrick Booz, aka Pat B on the mic, aka I was gonna wonder to see how long I can keep coming up with names, but
I mean, I've got plenty of nicknames I can fill you in on for. So you mentioned a buddy of yours, last name, same last name, Boozer.
Yeah.
That's actually another one of my nicknames is Boozer.
There we go.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, you, thanks for doing this today, man. This is cool.
Yeah, not a problem. Rocking the little Shane ET.
Hell yeah.
If Jeff Nichols was here, he'd make fun of me because it's blue instead of black. He says I should always wear black. So,
right.
I wanted to be different, damn it.
Yeah. I have a whole closet of black shirts, so it's kind of nice to have a couple different colors to pick from.
I didn't realize how bad it was for me recently until this morning, literally.
Yeah.
I looked in my closet, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking for it. I'm like, wait, black, black, gray, yeah. red, black, gray, red. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Damn, I got no blue. It's very few far in between.
Yeah, but yeah, man, looking sharp. That's those are just so silly. They make me laugh every time I see those out, and it was cool. Like, I think the last time I ran into you was at Diamond Music Hall, and there was a couple in the crowd that night, yeah. So like that was...
I saw, like, it wasn't just blue. It was, like, there was a couple of reds and green ones out there that was being sold, too.
Yeah.
They were, man, people were rocking those.
Yeah.
So and I'm, like, I wanted to, like, point out to you, but you probably saw it yourself, so right. You were busy that night as well, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun show, though. Outrun the Fall and Inimical Drive and good times over there at Diamond. But yeah, man, so, like, I thought this, we've been trying to get this to work out for a while.
Yeah. And scheduling conflicts, just put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. And but you know, like maybe there's a global pandemic going on and everything else, but it's taken a little while. But we finally made it work. Yep. And but I'm you're a guy I've definitely known for quite a while through you know, especially I think we met the first time through Beyond FM.
Yep. I think it was at Jason's house. It was either Jason's house the first time, or was it over at Gaslight?
I think it might have been the Gaslight one at the first time, and then I did the 10.
Because you showed up with the Ducks jersey.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah, with that Charlie Conway Ducks jersey, yeah. And I brought it up in the middle of the show, just like, I had no idea about, like, why you're wearing that, and you're like, oh, it's almost kind of expected now, because I always wear it. And then the next time I saw you right. was at Shutter's house, and you didn't have it, and I was almost disappointed by it.
Yeah, I get a
but
lot.
I did see it hanging up in there. So
yeah, I still have it, and I get a lot of comments about it and stuff, man. But it's a classic for sure.
Oh yeah,
and they just brought that series back. I haven't got a chance to check that out yet, but I'm
Disney Plus, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But I just think it's cool that a new generation introduced to the Ducks. So
I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen the previews for it, and I know I think it's Riley. Have you ever watched Letterkenny? Riley, from one of the dumb hockey players, he's actually on the show as one of the coaches, okay. I think. So
yeah, I haven't checked it out. I'm no Letterkenny either. So, but like, I'm excited to give it a spin. I think it's kind of, it feels like they borrowed the Little Giants story and made it about hockey, like kind of mashed those two together.
That's a good movie too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of '90s nostalgia there. But yeah, man, so I use this show as a good excuse just to hang out with my buddies, get to hang out and sit down, talk, and because a lot of times I run into you where everything else going on, so, but I like kind of getting to know a little bit more about you and what you're up to and talk about what, everything you're involved in. So, yeah. I guess maybe a good start to, go back a little bit and like, you're always from the, always in the St. Louis area?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I spent, 2 years down at Cape. When I was 24, like 26, I was working at a radio station down there. And then for about a year and a half, I was out near Columbia in Mexico, Missouri.
Yeah.
And I worked for a station out there. So
my brother has a home out there in Mexico, Missouri. So I'm
really
pretty familiar with the area. I go up there and visit him.
And you know, there's nothing out there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He likes it that way, though. He's got like 4 acres and he can't even see his neighbors. And so... He likes it out there in the country.
I was literally right next door to the YMCA there. I was literally 10 minutes from the station, pretty much like 3-4 minutes from like downtown Mexico, if you want to call it that. The, the epicenter where there's like 4 or 5 stoplights within like a 3-block radius. And that was it. That was pretty much the whole town. I just couldn't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. So the station I was working for wasn't that great. So I had to get out of there.
Yeah. So, what is what's a young Patrick Booz like growing up and like were you going through school and stuff? What was like
Hellraiser? a little bit. I wasn't getting in a lot of trouble, but you know, be out during the summertime like any other kid, just being 2-3 in the morning, just playing whatever we could with the neighbor, with the rest of the neighborhood kids. Always listening to music during that time, but you know, just I very early on learned how to play air guitar through Bill and Ted,
right?
And that was the extent of my music playing abilities. Couldn't sing for shit. Sure. And if I can cuss,
yeah, sure.
I couldn't sing at all, but I would try to play air guitar like no other because of Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
And it was always like in the back of my head that I wanted to play, but I just never got a chance to. Mm-hmm. And I started playing sports instead, playing football. I was a wrestler, did track while I was in high school too. So,
yeah, it was a lot. I mean, that's pretty much my story too. Like I never got had the musical talent, always just loved the music. And, yeah, I played football, basketball, and threw disc and shot and track. So,
same.
Yeah. So it was pretty, I mainly used track as an excuse to stay in the gym and lift for football season and everything else.
That was exactly it for a couple of us too, for the throwers. At least we were just, we needed something to do for the spring. And instead of like taking up time, just, you know, staying after school for nothing, just lifting and then not doing anything, we just went and practiced, got our cardio in, threw around, and then went and lifted for about an hour.
Yep.
That was pretty much it for practice every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have stuck with it. Like, I don't know. I was in real good shape then. I was had a lot of fun, but like anything, you kind of, once high school's over and stuff, like, it's easy to kind of fall into bad habits and things. So I'm not quite the same shape I used to be in, but I'm trying to, knowing some of your story and stuff is a real motivator for me too, man. Like just, kind of get my ass in gear and get in the gym and do it. And, so I've been trying to slowly eat right, you know, eat better and stuff, making better, a little bit better decisions, but, haven't had the time, find the time yet to make it the gym as a part of a regular part of my routine yet.
So. Now I feel bad bringing you those Debbie's.
I definitely still put down some little Debbie's, but and that's part of the problem. But I, it's all in balance. You know, it's all you can have those treats. You just got to make sure to, make up for it somewhere else and things. So
shit, that was my biggest issue when it like came when the start of it was. I just looked back and I would sit there and mess around with those Star Crunch, or I would get like the chocolate chip. What was it?
The like cream filled cookie one.
Yeah, the chocolate filled one, or like a cosmic brownie. And I would put back like two or three of those in a setting.
Right.
And then not do much the rest of the day, so I wouldn't be able to make up for it. So that was me at my worst. Like at my worst. That Quick Trip thing would be filled with like 44 ounce worth of soda. When I was in Cape, it was a 44 ounce soda in the morning. Be gone by the time I hit lunch. Come back with a 32. It'd be gone by the time I leave at night. And then drink soda the rest of the night.
Right.
And that's all I did for an entire like 6 months until I had like a, I want to say it was almost like I thought I was going to have a kidney stone.
Hmm.
And I was like, all right, I got to make it. I got to change something a little bit at least. So I started drinking more water and less soda. There was still around because one of my program directors when I was in Cape told me the best thing to use for your voice was always vanilla Coke.
Hmm.
So I would get a vanilla Coke in the morning and just have water the rest of the day.
How's that the best thing for your voice?
I don't know. But he said he has a vanilla Coke every single day, and he's been in radio for like 30 years, and I listened to him.
Right.
I had to listen to him, so.
I just feel like you would be burping all the time when the microphone's in,
There were times where that happened,
Yeah.
Almost sneezed on the microphone a couple different times in the middle of a break.
at least like in that, when you're on the air, like you have the dump button and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so you have, or the cough button or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's different, man. I've done a good radio a couple times. Been invited to be a guest on a couple of different shows, and especially doing my own show, like it's totally different because like here, I don't censor anything, I don't edit hardly anything, and so it's way different to watch yourself on when you're on the air somewhere. And
right.
But you kind of What was the point when you're like, I need, you kind of talked about it there, but like when you realize I got to make some changes and.
It was about this time 3 years ago. So my now ex's father-in-law or my ex-father-in-law passed away just out of nowhere, pulmonary embolism. Wasn't in the best shape, but you know, he was a postman, so he walked around a lot, but still he ate not the greatest. He drank like a fish, you know, was sitting there getting drunk pretty much every night and just watched it just came out of nowhere basically. And then they realized like how bad of health he really was on the inside because his liver was pretty much damaged. And there was a bunch of other issues going along with it. And like shortly after that, I'm like, all right, maybe I'm like looking at back at like old photos and I'm like, this is not good.
Right.
I step on a scale and it says 399.8, 0.1 or 0.2 ounces away from hitting 400 pounds. It's like, can't do it anymore. Just cannot do it. It was literally the day before I had like a real bad breakfast from like Sonic. And then that afternoon I got like Wendy's. And then for dinner, I think we had Domino's pizza. And that's about like 3,000-4,000 calories right there.
Right.
And I'm just, it just resonated. It just stuck with me. And I'm like, that's terrible. I'm going to end up on like fucking my 600 pound life or something like that. I'm like 200 pounds away from being on some kind of show like that. So I just had to start making some kind of change. You know, I was still drinking soda, not nearly as much as I used to, but still enough that it was something I needed to cut out. I think I went the entire year before without soda, but I was still drinking energy drinks, which kind of negates it, I guess. Right. It didn't really do anything. So I just started, you know, cutting out fast food, making different lifestyle changes, eating more vegetables, no fast food, no soda, only water, mainly try to do processed foods, and then started putting in like non-processed foods, I mean, and protein shakes. I'm having like 3 of those a day and it just pounds started dropping basically.
Yeah. Are you down like 100 now, right?
140.
140?
Yep.
Damn, Dan. That's crazy. Congrats, my friend.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I've been following, you know, over the last whatever year or something we've known each other, a little more probably, but just been following the journey. And you post your, you know, kind of like throwback pictures and of you, what you, where you were and where you're at now. And it's like, it's cool to see those results and, yeah, you know, and stuff for sure.
So I want to say like the most shocking one was my, the 5-year period between tuxedos that I had back in October, my tuxedo when I wore the day of my wedding and the tuxedo I wore for my best friend's wedding. And it's just two stark contrast. It's just like, what the hell was I doing right in the first fucking place? So,
yeah. Do you feel like there was a certain, do you just kind of get stuck in that rut, or like, do you feel like there was a certain life thing that happened to kind of cause you to start doing? Cause like for me, like, I don't know, I was doing pretty good. Not that this, I'm not making excuses. I know what I'm doing, but like, I also, it's difficult when you're dealing with grief and depression and everything. It's easy to get stuck in a rut like that. And,
yeah,
and, but when my, going through like, with my mom being sick, I was going from work to the hospital every night. And then I sit there. And so like most of my meals were consumed, you know, out of a paper bag and in the car on the way there. And, yeah, and then, so I kind of got in
the, well, you don't want to do with the hospital food. The hospital food usually sucks. Yeah. So
I'm doing that for several months, and then, you know, and then she passed in December of 19, and then
went
right into a global pandemic, you know, and it's just like, so it's hard to like get your head into it, like when you're like bummed out and
dealing
with all that junk. So like, I feel like I've definitely put on quite a bit in that time period. So it's just dealing with some of that, you know, mental health stuff and trying to get my head right to where I can want to get into the gym and make those changes.
Yeah, it was a mixture of, I think my ex-father-in-law passing, mm-hmm. that had something to do with it. And then, you know, truth be told, I wasn't in the best relationship with her either, mm-hmm. with my ex. Yeah. Like, we weren't in the best shape and the best way. So it was just like, you know, got to start making changes, got to start doing something.
Yeah.
And you know, she was along board with it for a while, and then she started resenting it, and that's when some more issues started coming up, and that's why part of the reason why things like really deteriorated because of that. Mm-hmm. But like, we weren't the best to begin with, and then we thought, hey, working out together, that's going to bring us closer. Now it just kind of drove a wedge in further,
right?
Basically. Also, basically seeing like how kind of downhill my mom has started going herself. She's dealing kind of with a lot right now. So she's had 5 knee surgeries, 3 on the right, I think, and 2 on the left. It's total reconstructive knee surgeries. She used to take me to hockey games, and we'd be able to climb all the way to the nosebleeds, no issues whatsoever. After those knee surgeries, she kind of shut down. And in the last like 6 or 7 years, she stopped going upstairs. She stopped getting really active. And now she's kind of like sitting down a lot. My cousin comes over to help her out, but she's just got like so much fluid retention in her legs. She's got all scarred up from falling all the time on her arms and on her legs. And, you know, we've got in-home nurse care trying to help out. And they've got to borrow my car rather than drive their car around. And just seeing her go through that is kind of like fueled me more.
Sure.
And I'm trying to help her as much as possible. It's not always easy when she can't like pretty much stand up on her own. So yeah. There are some days where she just has issues standing up on her own, and just seeing her at the start of that, or at the start of my journey, the where she was at, and it just feels like she's gotten worse. It's like I've gotten better, and it really sucks seeing that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, maybe if I keep going, I could try to, I don't know, motivate her too more than anything. And there are days where she is motivated. There are days where she says, she looks at me and she's like, all right, I see where you're at. I want to get more motivated. And then her mental health comes in and kind of like pushes things backwards a little bit.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's, you know, it's like you watch all these shows, whatever, you know, Biggest Loser or different, you know, different things, these different weight loss shows and stuff. And it's like, I get pumped up, you know, seeing their success and things and yours, and just like, man, I need to do that. So, and hopefully she finds what it is that,
yeah, I'm hoping for
her too. And, but yeah, man.
Funny thing is, Biggest Loser, one of my friends, Megan Leedy, she's like a goat farmer. I share some of her stuff. She was actually on Biggest Loser.
All right.
She made it on the season. I think she came in like 3rd or 4th, but she lost a hell of a ton of weight while she was on that show.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know. That was Jillian, and they scare me. some tough tough coaches.
I don't know if I could be able to deal with the amount of tough love that they throw out right. Sometimes. I mean, you could ask Gorilla Jay about like how I am with him. Like, I'll pump him up and try to push him as much as possible. And then no lie, there was a couple of times I thought he was going to start crying in some of the lifts that we were doing.
Right.
But then I turned around, got him on leg day, and he got all giddy and was just a complete like happiest guy in the world. He gets to push up 700 pounds. So
Nice, man. Yeah, that's cool too. You have like a buddy like that to, you know, hit the gym with you and stuff. And
which, by the way, Gorilla Jay, you need to start coming again, man. Jesus Christ,
putting them on blast.
Yeah, you got to do it somehow.
Yeah, man. Well, you mentioned radio earlier, and how did you make that transition into wanting to get into radio and stuff?
When I was a kid, you know, I grew up listening to Cardinals games. You know, I would always love it when it was West Coast games, because I would fall asleep listening to Shannon and Buck and calling games at like, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock while I'm trying to fall asleep, and then wake up listening to KMOX in the mornings, and then switch it over to 105.7 and start listening to The Point. I think my earliest memory of like really enjoying like anything radio quality was listening to an old recording of War of the Worlds, Orson Welles, and just listening him tell that story and then hearing the stories afterwards. And it's like, wow, that's interesting as hell. You know, I love that.
Yeah.
And then kind of got older. I started like wanting to play when I wasn't playing sports, I was sitting there calling the games in my head. Like, how would this person do it? How would this sound doing, you know, pretty much any game I could possible that way. And then I remember one night in particular over at a friend's house, and you play video games.
Oh yeah.
So you ever play like NHL 2K? Remember those games during the early 2000s?
Sure.
So we were playing, I think it was like 2K7 and 2K8. It was one of the last ones they made. And we're having like a big old tournament. So it's 2-on-2 basically. And I'm just sitting in back while everybody's standing around or sitting around watching, and just I'm calling the game in my head. And I think I blurted out something and they're like, wait, you're going to call the game? And I'm like, sure, I can. And literally they muted it and they told me to start doing the play-by-play for this game. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll start doing that. So we were playing poker nights on Wednesdays. I would go over there, and instead of poker, sometimes we'd have hockey tournaments, and they're like, all right, start doing the play-by-play for it. So I start doing that. And then one of my friends would try to join in and do color, and he would suck ass, but we'd still make a joke out of it. And then they were like, you need to actually go into school for this. So I got out of high school, enrolled at Jeffco, tried to figure out how to get into like a radio program down there. And I'm looking at like other schools, you know, I'm looking at like UMSL, and I'm not really doing that great with my grades because I couldn't pass math and I couldn't pass chemistry. Straight up can't fucking do math. It took me 3 tries to get past intermediate algebra and then 2 tries for college algebra, and I didn't pass college algebra. Hmm. And that was what I needed to get an associate's. And I want to say at the beginning of my last semester, someone comes to me and says, you know, there's a school downtown called the Broadcast Center. And I start looking into it. So I had enough money saved up. My parents went half and half, took $6,000, put in with their 6, and enrolled in there. And I started taking classes, and it was supposed to be a 9-month program, but I kind of jacked around a little bit too much than I should. I just started having too much fun while doing it and just trying to learn as much as possible and turn it into 13 months. And I think I graduated in 2011. Yeah. And then about like 6 months later, they got me my first job because they guaranteed you a job straight out of school, like as soon as you graduate. Well, they were also going through an ownership transitional period at that time. So it was kind of a hard thing to get a hold of people, because nobody was willing to listen to a school that really had like no backing whatsoever at that point. So it took a year later, they finally got me a job down in Cape. And then that's where it started, basically.
Yeah. So, and was that doing talk, or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, initially it was just doing Mix 96.5, it was a top 40 station. So I'm just doing, you know, regular breaks like, hey, it's Mix 96.5. Here's such and such on the Heartland's #1 hit music station. That's what the tagline. And it's like, we really weren't even close to being that at all. We were fighting against River Radio. We were fighting against like 20 other stations. But yeah, and for some reason, our program director said that's the tagline. We need to go with that tagline. So it started with just that. And then they're like, we trust you a little bit more. Let's give you nights over on the rock station in Sykeston. So I start voice tracking down there. And, you know, like pretty much I get off the air at Mix. And then out of nowhere, I'm going on Sykeston station. I tell the other program director about my sports background. He's like, all right, I want to use you for football. So he gives me a shot, and I'm doing Cape Central football games. So now I got three different positions, basically doing like three different time slots. And after a while, they wanted to switch things up. They said my numbers were good. They didn't tell me how good. That was what drove me crazy was, they said, we're going to switch things up and you're going to be afternoon drive from here on out. And I'm like, oh, okay. Why? And they're like, well, your numbers are better and we want to make things a little bit, more different. And I'm like, okay. Well, I've come to find out later, I was number one, and they just didn't want to tell me that because they didn't want to think they could pay me a little bit more.
Yeah.
I found that one out, and that's when, around the time, I was like, okay, so I'm just going to be stuck making what I'm making now. So, all right, fine. I'm going to go find someplace else, and that's why I left for Mexico.
Yeah. Those taglines are funny, man. I listen to a lot of Stern Show, and he still does like his WNBC. You know, I'm like, it just makes me crack up that he like.
When he remember the time he gargled while he was trying to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been like, it's just funny that he like, you know, he hasn't probably done that in like 40 years, but he still does it every day on the show. Like,
yeah. WNBC.
Yeah, right. So he, but that was my big introduction in radio, really. Like, I listened to, you know, a little bit, like, Casey or whatever, you know, the deadhead on the radio and stuff like, but it was after high school I started a construction job and I started listening to Stern on the syndicated on the Point.
Yeah.
And I started just really loving his show and just the interviews and everything that he was a part of. And so that was my big motivator to want to kind of grab a mic and start doing this thing.
It was, for me, like, listening to The Point, it was always Jeff, Trish, and Tom in the mornings. That was, like, before they went, like, I forgot who they fired first, and they got rid of the show and then started syndicating Stern. But, yeah, Jeff, Trish, and Tom was, like, one of my first introductions when I came to The Point, and listening to Donnie right after that, which I actually have been working with Trish.
Oh, nice.
She works over at KZK, and the funniest thing, did not realize that was her.
Yeah.
For like the first like year and a half, you know, I just knew her first name. And then someone, I think it was Brendan Shanahan. He kind of jokingly shows me like an old photo of like our boss at the time when he had a full head of hair. And he's like, yeah, there's Trish. I'm like, man, I always thought she looks familiar. He's like, you realize that's Trish from 105.7. I'm like, wait, from the mornings? And he's like, yeah. You fucking idiot. So I finally go up to her and I'm like, you know, I've been here for about a year and a half and I just realized that you were Trish from 105.7. And she's like, wow, it took you this long. And I'm like, yep, pretty much. And I just tried not to fanboy all over her. You know, it was so fucking hard because she was one of my heroes growing
right.
up. And I did the same thing when it came to Burton. And the only person I never got to meet was Tom West. I just got to talk to him a few times over Facebook. And he, you know, told me I had the chops, as he liked to put it, to make it. Because I was kind of pissed off working at the station out in Cape. Just, you know, getting more frustrated down there. And he's like, you can probably make it. You could definitely make it up here. Just keep working at it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom... He was really good at that stuff. He was really just a big cheerleader for his friends and big supporter. You know, I met him through some of the Talk STL days. I started to kind of work with those guys, just doing some online content for him. And then, but I don't know, we just hit it off. You know, Tom was one of those guys that it was like you were lifelong friends, you know, even though you just met him and stuff. So he was a good guy and just, you know, recently passed. That was a big loss for sure.
Yep. Didn't have to, you know, he could have ignored like anything that I said or anything like that, but he chose to answer it. So I'll be forever grateful for on that. So,
yeah. Yeah, man. He was a big, when I started doing the podcast, like and stuff, like he'd have me on to promote it and things and didn't have to do any of that, you know, like, you know, but like just the fact that he believed in his friends and wanted to push and support him. So, yeah, man, it's cool when you have a person like that in your corner, especially somebody that you know, grew up admiring.
Yeah.
So, so now you currently, along with the Beyond FM crew, you do some airtime at Y98. Is that right?
For the pandemic, I was, you know, filling in like every couple of days, basically, if somebody was out sick or vacation time, I was filling in for the morning show, or I'd fill in for Julie Tristan, or I'd even fill in for Hayes every once in a while over on 996.3. But then pandemic hits, and now I'm down to just the one day a week, midnight to 6 a.m. on Y98. So,
yeah, there's a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people got cut back on some of this stuff. So hopefully this thing's can come back. We'll hopefully you get some more shifts on there.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah. It was one of the funner times, you know, working at, like, I always said that, you know, it was great working in Cape, but it wasn't awesome. It was fine working in Mexico, but it wasn't awesome. I have not had a bad experience working for Y98, working for KZK 96.3. It's like, you know, they like to use me as like sometimes like a producer. Well, there are times where being there at the right spot, at the right, like staying, like being there at that time during that, they call you for something else. Literally, there was a couple of days where I was going to leave. You know, I get done at 10 o'clock for producing for 996.3 for Brooke and Jubal. And as I'm on the way out the door, they're like, "Hey, where are you at?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm almost in my car." They're like, "Well, you want to go live on Y?" I'm like, "Yeah, fine." So I turn right back around, go back inside, and I'm live on Y98 from like 10 until 2 or 3 in the afternoon until Paul shows up. And Jill or Julie just couldn't make it that day, so I'd fill in for them for a couple of days. Or, you know, they were like, "Hey, Hayes is out sick. You want to take over for him for a couple of days?" Sure, no problem. And I was pretty close to getting full-time status before the pandemic hit. They brought up the fact that KMOX was trying to pick up the Battlehawks, because that's another one of our stations. Like, the whole station cluster, before the pandemic, it was Y98, KZK, now 96.3, KFDK, and KMOX. And KMOX and Y98 were the two big money makers. So the Battlehawks were going to get picked up by us, or KMOX, 101 ESPN. And it came down to it like a week prior that they were like, "All right, it's coming down to these two stations." So my program director, Steve Moore, comes to me and says, "Hey, if we get it, we want you to be a part of this." So I'm like, "Wait, is that full time?" And he's like, "Yep, you're going to be full time 101 doing Battlehawks, basically." And I'm like, "Okay, awesome." And then like 3 days later, they're like, "Oh, we're going to go social media. We're not using radio at all." Put the kibosh to it. And that was the end of that whole aspect. And I was like, "All right, well, that sucks." So a couple weeks later, right before, like probably about 2 weeks before the pandemic, they were trying to figure out if they wanted to put me on 96.3 or Y98 full time. And then, of course, the shutdown happens. We weren't going to be affected. And then, you know, this is before anybody knew anything about the virus. They said somebody who hadn't been in the office in 2 months, mind you, this guy had not been in the office for 2 months. They're like, "Yeah, he's got it." It's like, "Well, he's not even been here. He just now got it like last week and he hasn't even been here." They're like, "We got to shut down the office anyways." And just crapped everything out. And they're just like, "Yeah, we can't do it right now. We'll revisit it when we open back up." I'm like, "Okay, when are we opening back up?" Well, they said, "Oh, first, we're not sure, but we're going to talk again in May. Then they pushed it back to July, August, October, December. And they're like, "We're not opening up until the spring of 2021. Here we are. Still no talk of it. Still no word.
Yeah. What a mess. This whole thing's, I'm just sick of it. I'm ready for everything kind of. Just quit talking about it. I'm just ready for go back to just being a memory of it. You know, yeah. It's like
look back on it and like, "Hey, remember how we all went crazy during 2020? Yeah. Just shut everything down."
Yeah. I look forward to that day when everything is be back to normal. We're getting closer and closer. I just keep, you know, putting that positive energy out there. Hopefully we'll getting to the end of it. I mentioned also Beyond FM guys, and you, so how'd that kind of come about? Cause like, I guess I started, following along online. I met, I've known Jeff and Jen for quite a while, but I think I started following Tony when things really got moving with the show and stuff. Like, so anyway, well, how did you kind of get you work into that?
Tony, I had never met Tony before this point. This is one of those weird like things where you meet like your internet friends, basically. I didn't know Tony from Adam for like probably about 2 years, and he would like, you know, comment on something I would post for a while. And, you know, because I knew him through like mutual friends like Brennan Shanahan and Tom West, and that was pretty much it. And then one day he just kind of throws out there, he's like, if I start a podcast, would anybody want to be on it? Well, I was going through like two different podcasts at that point where I was like, I was doing my own. It was kind of like a, you know, kind of like Rock Paper Podcast. Basically, I was having anybody on to talk about anything and everything, and had like 7 or 8 episodes, and it was going good. And then one guy comes to me and says he wants to do a sports podcast. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we ran with that with a 4-man team, and then it dissolved because one dude ends up in jail.
Uh-oh.
Me and another guy got into it like hardcore, and it's just like, nope, we're done with this, throwing it all away. And like a week later, I'm just like, okay, where do I go from here from this? Like, do I start up the other podcast again? What? And then Tony comments saying he wants to do that. I'm like, okay, sure. You know, I'm like, hey, Tony, I'll be down with that. And he's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because he messaged me on it like 5 minutes later after that. And he says, we're going to actually start up an internet radio station. It's not just going to be just a podcast. The goal is to promote everything St. Louis. And I'm like, okay, I'm down with it. Sure.
Yeah.
So I meet up with him. It's me, him, Kim Perry, and Melissa Jones. That was supposed to be the 4-man, like the 4 original core group. And then out of nowhere, Brooke gets added to it. And I think, I want to say Cat Muse got brought in. And that was the original team, like the 6 of us. And then, you know, it was just a matter of, like, we originally were just like, okay, it's just a podcast. But we tried to take it serious. Well, not everybody did. And that's when kind of certain people left. And then that's when Jeff and Jen got brought in. And for a while, Brad did, and Gabe. And I think he considers you part of the Beyond FM family too, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I think, extended family. Yeah. So I hadn't actually, like, I know we've done some, definitely done some collaborating and things, but yeah. But yeah, I love all of them, you know, all the people over there and stuff. It's all family for sure, so. But yeah, it's cool what you guys have developed over there. Like Tony's talked about, and like, he's been a guest on the show and talked about the whole, you know, internet radio. Now more than just you guys were doing the live show on Monday nights, yeah. And then like, but 24/7 you can catch live music being live feed of St. Louis music and all kinds of different various artists being streamed on your app and or wherever you're getting it, beyondfm.net.
Yep.
So I think it's really a great tool, man, for sure to catch up and. And learn about all the amazing things that St. Louis has to offer for music.
It's opened up my eyes. Like, I never knew there was so much like local talent until I started like hanging around Tony and them. It started listening to the app. Like, I'm full on. I knew 3 bands like growing up. Story of the Year from being St. Louis, The Urge, and who was it? There was one other band I can't even think. Gravity Kills.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. That's all I knew. That was from St. Louis. And I'm like, well, I guess you could say like The Urge and like, you know, like the only nationally played like was always like Story of the Year. But like, I always thought like I mistakenly once told Jeff and Jen, like I always thought like growing up when I was a little kid that The Urge were the only band to make it out of St. Louis to make it big. And they still give me shit to this day. It's been a year. They still make fun of me about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just didn't know. And then since then, I've learned like so many other bands. Like I become friends with Egan's Rats. You know, I love The Wild and Free. Just so many different bands, like 314, have just like opened up my eyes to like actual local music. And I'm like, yes, I'm good with it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even I was and not far off from what you talked about. Like when I started doing this show, I had what I felt was quite a bit of knowledge of St. Louis music. And that's why I was like, well, I have these friends in music we can start talking to when I, and bringing some guests on. But we quickly realized as like it started snowballing, like, I'm like, man, I didn't know anything. Like I had, yeah. You know, like I kind of knew my bubble, but like there's so much more out there in St. Louis music that I had no idea about. So that's kind of the fun, is once you do start digging, there's all kinds of great things.
Oh yeah. Like you sit there and think like, oh, there's just a few local bands, but no, there's so many more that are coming out. Mm-hmm. There's many more.
Yeah. A bunch of world-class players, and like they're just people, you know, they're just not, they're not all over your radio, not in household names and stuff, like, but all really great music and coming out of here. So yeah, be sure.
I remember like listening to the local show on The Point there for a while with Les Aaron, and you know, like I just, the only band that ever stuck out to me was this guy that my cousin knew. He was from Rockwood Summit, and his name was Tim Shady. That's the only thing I knew. That was like late 90s. And I don't even think they're still playing music. His band, Tim Shady, I don't think they're even still playing music, in all honesty. Right. And yeah, so since then, it was just like, oh, like The Urge, that's the only band I know. And then when I got into high school, it turned into Story of the Year and Gravity Kills. But now it's just, yeah, I'm digging the local scene so much more now.
Yeah, man. Well, I asked you about kind of preparing for this. I always enjoy kind of getting into what people are listening to. I was thinking, like, what are some of the, you mentioned, you know, being a fan of music early on and stuff. Well, what were some of those records that really helped kind of mold your taste of music?
So we talked about the five albums, right, that kind of like shaped who I am and who, like, you know, just song or like music that I've just jammed to that I can, you know, I want to say. So the number five, it's going to sound corny as hell, but it was like the first album I ever bought myself. Creed, My Own Prison.
Oh yeah.
That album.
Such a great record.
It was great. And I get shit to it about it, that I still listen to some of the songs to this day. I still get shit for it. And it's like, hey, that was my first album that I ever bought. That was my childhood right there.
Right. I mean, it definitely has some cheese on, but like, you know, now you look back at some of that stuff and like the whole Scott Stapp persona, you know, the whole open shirts and
want to be Jesus. You know,
like,
yeah.
But just like at the time, man, that record was huge. Like that's such a great album. And I think if that was the case for you too, but Gabe Stroop talks about like, that was one of the first records he was allowed to listen to because it was a Christian based band also. And he wasn't allowed to listen to a lot of the other music.
That had a lot to do with it as well. My full Lutheran upbringing, so we weren't supposed to cuss, we weren't supposed to do anything bad. So it was like the first album I got was a Christian rock album. Go figure. Right. So
yeah.
But I also, so the number four would probably be the Rubber Soul album from the Beatles. So my mom, total Beatles fanatic. That's what got me like really into music, was we would listen to her old cassettes, because at the time her and my dad owned their own business and they were running out to like Cedar Hill in the middle of the sticks to gather money for like the properties that they owned. So she would literally pop in an album and it would be either the White Album or it would be Rubber Soul. And I would sit there and listen to Rubber Soul pretty much the entire time. And to this day, I still say it's like one of the best albums ever made.
Why do you pick that one in particular?
Norwegian Wood, just the B-side alone is awesome. And it, you know, I was young and it just always stuck out with me.
That's what
In I love. My Life is another good song on there too.
For sure. Great song. That's what's fun about the Beatles. Like each record has such a different feel. Like they were evolving so fast. Like every album kind of had a whole different sound and different feel to it. And like they just, you know, they were changing the evolution of music forever, you know. Yeah. It's like, and it's pretty wild to like that it's all documented and like,
and the, for people to sit there and like stick their nose up at him and say like they weren't that influential and shit, they're full of shit.
Right.
I've had so many of my friends in the past say like, you know, they weren't really that great, and I'm like, you're fucking out of your mind to say they weren't. Jesus Christ.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, those Lennon and McCartney are like, I mean, obviously too, the world's greatest songwriter. I mean, they're so prolific and things like the way they would.
Yeah.
And McCartney's still doing it, you know. It's like,
yeah.
But yeah,
and Lennon would still be doing it to this day,
right?
I like to think, at least.
Yeah, but yeah, George Harrison, I think he kind of goes underappreciated, but he's another, I mean, so good too. So
yeah,
but yeah, man, that was what about number three?
Number two and three come in at the same, around the same time. And it's because of my teen angst. Yeah. You know, I was just a bit of an, I started listen. This is when I first started like listening to kind of like more hardcore type stuff. And I would say they come in a tie. It's Significant Other from Limp Bizkit. And I will always be down with Limp Bizkit. That is probably my favorite album from them too, is their Significant Other. And then Eminem, the Marshall Mathers LP, second CD.
Yeah.
So, you know, little kid listening, like, think that was like, I didn't get a chance to get the Devil Without a Cause CD from Kid Rock initially. So I got the censored one and it sucked, you know, just hearing everything bleeped out and like a few songs weren't even on there. Sure. So
radio edit.
Yeah. That's my point. So I started listening to, like, I remember shit, seventh, eighth grade, walking around with a Walkman and I have Marshall Mathers LP, or I'd have Significant Other with me, and I'd switch them back and forth, and I'm just like listening to all these cuss words in like seventh and eighth grade, and I'm probably not should be listening to this at this point, but there I was.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I was so we must be about the same age then, I guess. Like, I'm June 85, so I'll be 36 this summer.
I'm only 32.
32. So, yeah. Oh, I'm not that bit different, but like, but I was like,
again, I shouldn't have been listening to it at that age, but still I was.
But those records were huge, man. They were definitely on heavy rotation for me too.
And then, you know, for number one, I would probably say it would probably be Color in the Shape by Foo Fighters. A huge Foo Fighters fan.
Yeah.
And there's not a bad song on that album. So being listening to like February Stars, listening to Everlong, even though it has like kind of like a different meaning towards things now, because that was me and my ex's song. Now it's like kind of hard to listen to it, but it's getting easier. Mm-hmm. But listening to like February Stars, and then Hey Johnny Park, that's one of my favorite ones on that album. So
yeah, that I've been talking a lot about Dave Grohl on this show, and like, he's just cool, man.
Yeah.
He seems like the guy that you would love to hang out with and just, you know, party and stuff. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Foo Fighters.
What was it, last week I had to drive to Kansas City. The guy I'm driving with, we were sitting there talking about Dave Grohl like part of the way, and it's just like, there, you don't hear a bad person, anybody saying anything bad about Dave Grohl. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a bad story about Dave Grohl. He is like down to earth, like supposedly one of the nicest fucking people in the world. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, they say you don't meet your heroes. I think it would be completely different with Dave Grohl.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
He was on Stern, as I talk about it. One of the stories that kind of been coming up is they were on Stern promoting the new record, and he started telling a story about going to Paul McCartney's house for a dinner and eating. I think they said they were eating pizza. You know, like, that's what Howard's like, what do you eat at Paul McCartney's house? And you know, he's like, I think we just had pizza delivered or something. But they're like hanging out, and he said that Taylor Swift was there also, and like and they were like started jamming. And he says something about like, I may have smoked a smidge of marijuana, you know, and like, Taylor was playing at the piano, and like, they were trying to get Dave to jam. And he's like, I don't play piano. And then she said, so he's sitting back and watching, and she does a Best of You. And he said, he's like so stoned that he didn't even recognize, like he didn't even know it was like his song. He's like, hey, this song sounds familiar. And then, oh yeah, look. So it just cracking me up. Like,
what was the one a couple years ago that he was telling on Australian television where he's like, it's like 1998. He's doing a tour, like he's driving across America with Taylor Hawkins. And they had just like played Ozfest like a couple of months before and made friends with like Pantera and a bunch of other like heavy metal bands. And he says they stop for gas in Barstow and he leaves his wallet and he gets all the way to like Texas, can't get in this like strip club that Pantera owns. And then he gets his like all of his information finally when he gets to like Virginia. He said like 20 years later, he's in a surf shop in somewhere in Southern California. This girl comes up to him and says, "Are you Dave Grohl?" And he says, "Yeah." She says, "Did you leave your wallet in Barstow, California in a gas station?" He's like, "Yeah." They send it to him. It's got all the information on it, like all of his credit cards, driver's license, and all the money that he left in there, never been touched. Huh. He supposedly signed like a bunch of like guitars and drum sets and sent them to to her family as like a thank you for like hanging on to his information all those years. Like he didn't have to do that's the kind of person that he is,
right?
That was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty wild, like that they held on to it for that long. Let's see, I've been asking some questions, having some fun with some of these, what would that Dave Grohl story kind of sparked this idea, but like what would be a dream dinner if you could invite like two or three people over or whatever, like who would be some of those guests that you would love to just spend the evening with and have a conversation and hang out for the night?
Man, definitely probably be Jim Morrison. I'm a Doors fan as well. LA Woman's like one of their best albums as well. That would have probably been number 6 on my top, like if I did top 10, and that would have been number 6 for sure. Probably Paul McCartney, and have to throw in probably my childhood crush. Like if we're like being full disclosure, like childhood crush would probably be the original Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
Just had to throw her in there.
Kimberly?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Full on Kimberly.
Yeah. It's funny like how so many and so many of those stick with you though too, like Topanga or Kelly Kapowski and all, you know, like it's like so many of those are just ingrained in your brain, that you just, these girls that you grew up having a big crush on and stuff through the TV.
Yeah, Christina Ricci is another one. So
yeah, Wednesday Adams.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
I seen a post a while back that said like they were like, man, she could be the new Morticia if they were to like reboot the series live action. She could be Morticia now. It would like come full circle, and I guess it was. Either she did a like photo shoot looking like Morticia, but damn, she nailed it.
Yeah.
And she's still looking good to this day. So,
if the day comes along, we get a Patrick Booz biopic, who would you like to see cast to play you in the movie version?
Oh man.
You ever, people ever tell you look like somebody or anything?
No, not really. Like when I was younger, they said I look like Mark McGuire's son. And that was when I was like in like 6th or 7th grade. Oh, man. I trust you to do it, Shane. I think you can do it. Okay. Yeah.
The role I was born to play. Yeah. Yeah, man. I'll see. I've done a little bit of. Got to have a role in the Sky Burnt White music video, and where Gabe runs up and tackled me, and that's pretty much the extent of my acting. So
we need to put you out there more. Yeah, you need to start getting more acting shots. I think you could start doing some more music videos. Egan's Rats.
Yeah.
They start doing music videos. You need to have Shane in there.
Right. Yeah, man. What? All right, if you have a Pat B action figure, what would your like 3-year accessories be?
Weights. It sounds weird. probably, yeah, have weights, you know, for gym purposes. Karate chop action, because I did used to do karate back in the day. Yeah, right. So, and a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
So
there you go. So this one's usually for musicians, but I think it also would work, like you're saying, how, you know, just being color commentator or play-by-play and stuff, like, you know, pairing like that and stuff. But what would be a like a dream collaboration for you for the radio?
Oh, man. Well, if only he was still alive, it would have been Jack Buck.
Yeah.
That's
one of the best, man, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but for now, it would probably end up being Shannon before he retires. But now he's retiring after this season, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be crazy, man, to be in the, sitting across the mics from him and getting to talk baseball. Do you do any celebrity impressions? Hmm. You find yourself doing any voices on the show or anything?
I tried, and my impressions were just so rusty that it just came off like terrible the one time I tried, and Tony and Jeff said it sounded like English voices for some fucking reason. I mean, I tried doing like a James Bond impersonation.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out too well.
I'm like, yeah, don't do that anymore. Don't cut the James Bond segment.
So, what is it? Bond, James. That's not going to sound right. Damn it. Martini, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah.
This is Sean Connery's attempt for it.
One of my favorites is all the Sean Connery impressions on Celebrity Jeopardy from SNL.
Oh, God, yeah.
Those make me laugh so hard. And like,
what is the color of snow? Yellow.
Yeah.
No. Are you sure?
I'll take the rapist for 300. That's not the rapist. That's the therapist.
I'll take the tits now for 300. It's not the tits now. Of course it is. It's French, mademoiselle. I love to see the tits now.
Those are some classic.
Is it Daryl Hammond, right?
Yeah.
He's.
Now the a voice for SNL. He's the does the announcing after Don Pardo passed.
Really? So, I have not watched SNL in so long.
Yeah. So now Daryl Hammond does the all the introductions and stuff.
Nice.
Cecily Strong. Like whatever. So Kenan Thompson.
Man, I haven't watched it in so long. Even before like the Trump administration came in, when they were just rolling out shit every week for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I have not watched a full episode of SNL in a while.
I still love it, man. There's definitely some that just kind of fall flat, but that's what's nice when you record them on DVR and you can fast forward to the ones that you don't want.
What was it? The Dave Chappelle one where, they were trying to get rid of, Aunt Jemima.
Oh yeah.
Uncle Ben, the Allstate guy. And then Count Chocula. Yeah. And Dave Chappelle's doing like this super, super dark voice trying to sound like the Allstate guy. Yeah. And he makes like Pete Davidson just crack as he's playing Count Chocula. And he's like, America, look at Pete Davidson's lips. Tell me that's not black.
They put like an auto tuner thing on his voice or whatever. And where he's like, so he could get that low, like, are you in good hands?
Yeah.
I'm like... I love that. Stacy was watching The Walking Dead and reminded me of this, the Chappelle skit on SNL when he did the with the Chappelle characters and stuff, all the Tyrone Biggums and all that stuff. He played all the different characters. So it was fun to see those Chappelle show characters come back on SNL for the episode.
Red balls, cocaine in a can, baby.
Right. But yeah, man, good stuff. Well, you, you can catch, Pat B on Beyond FM at, beyondfm.net. And you were saying, hopefully maybe, Tony's been, getting his butt kicked at the new job and everything. Yeah. So things have been a little crazy over there, but things are kind of coming back around. We started doing the show Talking Dollars, started back up, and Tony's been doing the live show again on Monday. And then you guys are talking about maybe bringing back your show, your sports.
Patrick's with Patrick on Sunday nights. Hopefully he's supposed to be back. There for a while, he was wanting to put it on like Monday nights and then move the Monday night show to like Wednesdays, but it didn't fully work out that way. So we could have music just like 24/7 on Saturdays and Sundays, but you know, there's still a hope for it, I guess.
Yeah. But that'd be fun to get back in there and, catching up with all the sports, especially as everything's ramping up, man. We got baseball season, you know, firing up on everything. People are coming back to the stadiums and everything this year, so it's
hopefully gonna make it to a game this year. Yeah. But not likely.
But it's crazy because like down in Texas, like they got 40,000 people in the stadiums,
and I think we haven't even topped like not even 5 or 6 yet,
right?
So
yeah, I think we'll get there.
Yeah, it's a slow process.
Yeah.
Hopefully by 2021, things will be back to normal. We would say, or 2022, when they were saying 2021, things will be back to normal. Not quite. Maybe it'll be next year.
Yeah. But, man. Is there, with everything else, like you were talking about, maybe there's still some things to be worked out with some of the other opportunities, but do you see, like, is that where you want to be, is in St. Louis radio and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
that's you know, it was my goal.
Special guest.
It was my goal when I growing up was to be in St. Louis radio. So this is where I want to be. And, you know, I got all my friends and family around here, so I definitely want to stay. I mean, not for a lack that I haven't tried to like go elsewhere here in the last number of months. I've applied at like Kansas City and Chicago and other places, but the goal is to stay around here.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, like, I love it here too. I'm like, so it'd be nice if you could stick around and work here for one of our great stations and stuff. And there's a lot of history, man. Like, I've been fortunate enough to meet several people that kind of Ron and Joy, Ron Stevens, Joy Gerdick, Larn. Radio Rich Dalton. I've got to meet several of these like people that have been part of St. Louis radio and stuff over the years.
He was another one of my favorite guys listening to growing up. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to listen to The Point around my parents, so they'd listen to like The Clue or 90, before it was now 96.3. It was
K Hits?
Yeah, it was K Hits. So it was like J.C. Corcoran and Stephen D.C. Radio Rich Dalton would be in the middays. And just listening to him like talk, and it was like, man, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I actually got to work with him a couple times when he was guest hosting on KMOX. They were finding a new overnight guy, so they had Kurt Copeland come in, and I got to meet Kurt for the first time working with him. Then they were like, hey, we're going to have a co-host with you, and it's going to be Radio Rich Dalton. It's like, holy crap. These are two people I used to like listen to when I was a kid. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Kurt's become a buddy of mine too, man. Your best friend in the whole wide world, Kurt Copeland.
I remember, yeah. I mean, you ask. My sister used to hate that tagline. And she would like when I told her like later on, I'm like, yeah, I got to work with Kurt Copeland. She was like, yeah, the biggest weirdo in the fucking world. And I'm like, wow, that's harsh. Come on.
But yeah, man. I think it'd be fun to be a part of that, you know, history here and stuff, sure. Like, and make your own, put your own stamp on it and stuff in St. Louis radio. But yeah, man. I wish you the best, and hopefully,
appreciate you.
Hopefully, we'll get some of those calls coming in and those opportunities start opening up for you.
I'm looking this new opportunity I got driving for Power Play. So it's definitely better than Lowe's, that's for sure. But, you know, I get to listen to, and then they're long drives, you know, so I'll be able to listen to like whatever I want basically on a daily basis. And a couple times yesterday, I was driving up to Hannibal and I popped on Rock Paper Podcast. So,
hey-o.
Listen to some of your episodes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, man. Well, thanks, homie.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you doing this, Pat. It's been a lot of fun catching up, man. Like,
yeah, not
really,
a problem.
Really glad we made this happen today. So, again, beyondfm.net. Download the app on your Android or iOS and spin it wherever you can. And 24/7, get to learn something new about some St. Louis music out there.
Let's get to 1,000 episodes of Rock Paper Podcast.
And we're cooking, man. I think number 900 came out today, so we're... And should be here about 1,000 next week or so.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Pat.
See you.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.